إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
As we all know that this is the final evening of these lecture series that has been presented by our beloved brothers and sisters of ISKA, and we'd like to begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them with the best in this life and the next, and to bless them with the best in this life and the next, and to guide them and to keep their hearts firm on this deen of al-Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His obedience. Tonight's topic, inshallah, is about the Muslim character. And the brothers, as we know, they had given me this piece of paper which tells me what I'm supposed to talk about, and each topic has a subtitle. Unfortunately, this particular topic didn't have a subtitle. So that means I'm left to say anything I want to say. And that means that you're going to have to be responsible for what I say, whoever brought me here from America. Tonight's topic, Muslim character, is probably, and no, not probably, it is appropriately put in the right place at the end. Because everything that we've been discussing and everything that the people have come before me from other lands to discuss, it all sums up to one thing. After the aqidah, after knowing the correct aqidah, the one that is sahiha, then after that, then the person should strive with all that they have to improve their character. And the aqidah is that, as we mentioned the other night, is that which is going to change our character. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sent to do. As Allah mentions in his book, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mission was threefold: to come and teach us the book, which is التوحيد, to teach us the correct belief, and to teach us the hikmah, as Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that the hikmah is the sunnah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and to bring them tazkiyah, to make them grow, to purify them, to sanitize them, to clean their hearts, not just their bodies, their hearts and their souls, so that they may be better human beings, in fact, be the best human beings. And this is one of the things after the aqidah of Islam that distinguishes us, that separates us, that is a distinguishing factor between the kuffar, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book about them, whether some of us don't like it or not, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ, that they are the worst of creatures. They're not the worst of creatures because they don't wash up. Because they wash and we wash. They're not the worst of creatures for those reasons that we might think, those corporal, mundane, temporal reasons. They are the worst of creatures, firstly, because they have the incorrect aqidah. This is why they're not allowed into Masjid al-Haram. Because of their aqidah. Not because they look bad or smell bad or anything like that. It is because of al-aqidah. It is the aqidah that is sinful. It is their aqidah that smells. It is their aqidah that is tunjid. And then after that, the thing that separates us from them is the akhlaq. Allahu Akbar. This thing already looks like some Star Wars ship anyway. I'm wondering if it's going to take off or something. No. Can you brothers please help me? The brother has his hands up like this. He doesn't know what to do. I hope this is not the same thing. But now they won't be able to hear, will they? I was beginning to think that what happened to our brother, rahmatullahi alayhi, Ihsan Ilahi Zahir, was going to happen to me. You know about Ihsan Ilahi Zahir? You know about him? Rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was one who was staunch against bid'ah and shirk and kufr among the Muslims. And because of that, the people of Inshiraf, the people of Deviant, killed him while he was talking. Something like this, like right now. And they sent something up, I think like a bouquet of flowers or something, like they were going to present him a gift, and it blew up. They killed him. So I thought maybe somebody was going to try to do that to me, because everywhere I go, people are always saying that I'm always speaking hard against bid'ah and shirk and things like this. So I thought maybe this was my time, you know. That's it? Walhamdulillah, innama al-a'malu bil-khawateen. Actions are judged by the last thing you do. And since I'm talking about Islam, I'm ready to go if you're ready to take me. Inshallah. So the thing that separates us after the aqidah from the kuffar, mushrikun, fasiqun, is the akhlaq. This is what the Prophet came to bring to us. This is what he came to perfect. This is why he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I've only been sent to perfect the morals, the behavior of the people. Not just the Muslims, whoever wants to hear his call. If you want to be a better person, then come into Islam. As one of the people did the other night, I hope he's still here, Brother Rashid. He came into Islam. And alhamdulillah, we were at a Barbie today. I have to get used to saying Barbie, because in America we don't say Barbie. We just say barbecue. When the brothers invited me to the Barbie in April, I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, Barbie in America is that doll. They didn't invite me to look at a doll. I hope up in that. When we were at the Barbie today, we were talking to a young man who was non-Muslim, and by the grace and mercy of Allah and his ni'mah, after talking to him for a few minutes, he took the shahada. Alhamdulillah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now when he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is good for us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while he was alive, and he's good for us when he's dead, he's going to be able to get the essence, the epitome of how a human being should be. Because the best of creatures that Allah created is the human being. The crown of creation is the human being. The best of human beings are the Muslims. The epitome of a human being is a Muslim. If there are any non-Muslims here, I know you might not like what I'm saying, But I have to tell you the truth. If you want to perfect that which you learned in Christianity pertaining to your character, and if you're a Jew sitting here, which I doubt any Jews are going to be sitting here listening to me, but it might be. Might be, you never know. If you want to perfect your character, then you should look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has the most excellent. And if there's a word over excellent, over superior, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what he has. And that's what he came to give to us. So this evening, inshallah ta'ala, we want to talk about our conduct and our character. This is what we want to discuss, inshallah. And as I told Abu Shiraz, may Allah reward him and protect him and his family with greatness in this life and the next, with goodness in this life and the next. As he was driving me here, I was telling him that I'm going to switch up. As I was writing this speech for tonight, around 5:15, 5:30, I decided to change what I had started after Fajr. Every day in his house, I start after Fajr writing. So around 5:15, I switched up what I was going to talk about. And now what I want to do, inshallah, is put the cart before the horse. I want to discuss, inshallah, or present to you the virtues, some of the virtues of having good character, some of the rewards of having good character, etc. Then, how do we develop good character? What are some of the practical steps for us to develop good character? We have a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khulqan." Ahsanuhum khulqan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The most complete of all the believers, the most perfect of all the believers in terms of their iman are those who perfect their character." The ones who perfect their character. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with us in terms of our deeds and our actions. Even though there is merit in making 13 raka'ah for tahajjud. Even though there's merit in fasting. The fast of Dawood alayhi salam wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik every other day. There's merit in having large numbers, multiplicity in our actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more concerned with the ihsan of your actions. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. No. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He who created death and life to try you to see what you would be most in conduct? No. It is He who created death and life to try you to see of you who will be more perfect and best in conduct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned with the perfection of your deeds and the quality of your deeds more than the quantity of your deeds. For if the person made 5 raka'ah for tahajjud, and he did it with ihsan, and iman, and khushu', and taqwa, and in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the person made 13 raka'ah without those things, then you know the answer. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. The person who perfects their ibadah is going to get more reward. Likewise, the person who perfects their character is going to have an immense reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خِيَارُكُمْ أَحَاسِنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقُمْ. That the best of you are the ones who have the best character. They are the ones that perfect their character. And there are so many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the reward that the people are going to get who perfect their character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana za'imu bi baytin fi rubdil janna liman taraka." Taraka what? Whoever leaves what? Mira al-mira'u in kana muhiqqan Nazihan. Allahu Akbar. I will guarantee a bait, which is really a puffer, a pallet, in Rabat al-Jannah, in Rabat al-Jannah. Brothers and sisters, I come from the ghetto. Where I was born and reared, it's a ghetto. In the ghetto, as a black guy, we always want to go live in the suburbs. That was a dream. As a Kafir, black person, growing up in the ghetto, all of us, our dream was to live in the suburbs. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling all of us, I will guarantee, وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He speaks the truth, you have to believe that. أَصَدَقُ الْمَصْدُوقُ. He speaks the truth all the time and nothing but the truth, and he has to be believed in all the time. You can never doubt what he says. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I will guarantee you and me, you Turkish Muslims, you Albanian Muslims, you Saudi Muslims, you Iranian Muslims, no matter what kind of Muslim you are, black, white, polka dot, purple, no matter who you are, I guarantee you a house in the suburbs of Jannah. The suburbs of Jannah. If you can leave off arguing, disputing, quarreling, even if you are right and are telling the truth. You're arguing with your brother, you're arguing with your sister in Islam, you're having a debate, I'm right, you're right, no, no, no. And you know you're right. You know you have the authentic proof from the authentic sources. You know that he's not right or she's not correct. You know that you have hit the truth, you've hit the target. And 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes goes by, khalas, alhamdulillah, okay, assalamu alaikum, no problem. If you can do that, you'll get a house in the suburbs of Jannah. The Prophet continued, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلَقَهُ. He said, and I will guarantee you a house in the highest place of Jannah. The highest place in Jannah, the one who can perfect his character. The one who can perfect her character. Perfecting the character means a lot. There are a lot of things that mean perfecting the character. One of the things that is showing the perfection of character is as-sidq. As-sidq fil hadith. Not hadith from the Prophet Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood. Not like that. Meaning in speech. Truth in speech. And truth is not just relegated or centralized to telling the truth with the tongue. There's truth with the tongue. There's truth with aqidah. There's truth with the limbs. Truth is expansive. This is one of the things that a Muslim has to have to show that they have good character. As-sabr. As-sabr is something that we have to have. If we want to have good character, we have to have as-sabr. Especially in times of makarih. Especially in times of difficulties. When that musibah, when that calamity, when that misfortune hits you, you're patient with Allah. All of this is part of good character. Al-hilm, having clemency, having forbearance. Al-afu, as-safh. All of these things are part of the good character. Forgiving your brother, being forbearing with your brother, being clement with your sister in Islam, being patient with your brother and sister in Islam, especially inshallah when they wrong you, of which we hope to discuss. So these are some of the things, and there are many things that show good character in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The most beloved of the ibad of Allah to Allah are the ones who perfect their character. Do you want Allah to love you? Because many of us always say, I love Allah. This is something we say all the time, and this is a good thing to say. I love Allah. Some of us even have those little bumper stickers. I don't know if you have them here in Australia. In America we have them. They're very famous now. You're riding down the street. You see on the back of the person's car in the bumper, I heart Allah. I love Allah. Alhamdulillah, you love Allah, but does Allah love you? That's really important. Does Allah love you? You want to get Allah to love you? Of course, the way that you do it in general is to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. And I'm not pointing to myself like I'm Rasulullah. I'm not Rasulullah, of course, you know that. If you really love Allah, then follow me, meaning the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you do, Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. But another way that you can gain the love of Allah is to improve your character. To have good moral character that makes your character excellent and high. Ma'ali. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So, now that we have heard just some of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the virtues of good character, and as we mentioned, there are many. Now we want to look at what type of character, or how many types of characters are there. And we can safely say from the scholars of Islam that character is of two types. One that is mahmud and the other is mazmoom. One that is a praiseworthy character and the other one that is a blameworthy character. And there are two ways that you gain good character. Number one, it's a mawhiba. It's a gift from Allah. And very rarely will you find someone that has it naturally. Meaning, they have it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from day one. The second way that you gain good character is that you have to earn it. For the vast majority of us here, wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa a'la, we have to earn it. Muktasib. We have to earn good character. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't have to earn good character. He was endowed from the very beginning with good character. And there's only two times and which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to do something of the affairs of Jahiliyyah that probably, if Allah had allowed him to do it, could be looked at as bad character. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And he made sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the statement, I intended to do something of the affairs of Jahiliyyah only twice. Twice, only twice. One time when he was a young boy, and he was out with some young boys, there was a wedding. And in the house where there was the wedding, there was music coming from the wedding. So the boys went to listen to it, to participate with the wedding. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I intended to go, but I was overcome with tiredness and I went to sleep. I became fatigued and I went to sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from it. The other time is when the people of the Quraysh and others, when they were gathering together the stones to put in the Kaaba, everyone else was lifting up their izar. And they were showing their thighs. And when they lifted up their izar to show their thighs, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he intended to do this, and then he heard something say, lower your izar. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the only two things that we have from the asar that says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to do things of the Jahiliyyah, and Allah protected him from it. Because he had a mawhibah. He was gifted with the best type of character from the very beginning. As we mentioned, for us, we have to earn it. We have to work on it. We have to develop it. And now we want to talk about how do we do it? How do I make my moral character excellent? How do I become that person who is a shining example for all human beings, not just the Muslims, for all human beings. So when the person sees me, they might not know what is my religion, my deen, but they say something is different about that person. That guy right there, he doesn't act like everybody else. When we're on the job, and we take our 15 or 20 minute break, and we all go to the locker room, and everybody starts smoking cigarettes, and using profanity, and opening up magazines from their lockers, pornography, and listening to crazy music, and all of it is crazy. All of it. All of it is crazy. This guy goes over to the corner, and he opens up the mukhab, some book with funny writing. And he starts reading. And then even worse than that, this funny guy, he goes and washes up and starts putting his head on the floor. And you never hear him talking bad. And you never hear him swearing. And you never hear him looking and talking about looking at women. Even when he came to get his job and the person who was going to give him the job stuck her hand out, he says, no, I'm sorry, I can't shake your hand. That's strange. This is what we want to be. And since I mentioned the word strange, I want to make a special note, alhamdulillah. Because some of us, some of the shabab in our zeal, some of the enthusiastic brothers and sisters, the young brothers and sisters, like me. For some of you who think I'm real old. Some of the brothers and sisters in their zeal, after they have come to the realization that we have to call to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, ala fahm, as-salaf as-salih, on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, that that's the only way to fly, the only airlines to fly, is the Quran, the authentic Sunnah, on the way of the Salaf al-Saleh. There's no other airlines to fly. Some of us who have become so enthusiastic with love, because now, alhamdulillah, I understand the truth. I understand the correct way, alhamdulillah. I want to ascribe and affiliate myself, I want to make the intisab in a salaf. But unfortunately, some of us go overboard. And since I mentioned the word strange, I want to take this one small opportunity to say there's a difference from being gharib and being mughrib. There's a difference between ghurba and al-ighraab. There's a difference between being strange and a person who alienates himself weird, a weirdo. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَةِ Islam began as something strange, and it will return the way it began as something strange, so tuba for the strangers. Those strangers are not people who alienate themselves from people. Those strangers are strange because they are practicing Islam properly, and the people have fallen into so many things that are against the Sunnah, they seem strange. But the other type of person who's mughrib, he's the person that goes overboard and runs the people away from him. That's not the stranger that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. So we need to make the distinction between the strange person who is alienated because he's following the Quran and the authentic Sunnah on the way of our rightly guided predecessors, and the person who's a fanatic who goes overboard and runs the people away from him with his bad character. بَشِّرُوا وَلَا تُنَفِّرُوا يَفْتِرُوا وَلَا تُعَفِّرُوا Bring glad tidings. Spread glad tidings to the people and don't run them away. Be easy on the people and don't be harsh. I wanted to just mention that. For you brothers who are so zealous and so enthusiastic to bring the da'wah to al-haq to the people, you need to check your character. So, we have to earn this character, this good character. It's not going to drop out of the sky. We're not going to make du'a or some special zikr with 786 on the front of it. For the people who weren't here the other day, you have to ask those people who were here to know why they're laughing. It's not going to just drop out of the sky. We have to work on it. And there's proof from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very first thing, and Allah knows best, that we have to do to perfect our character. The thing that is the heaviest on the scale on Yom Qiyamah, which is good character. In order for us to change our character, the first thing that we have to do to improve our behavior and our character is to recognize that we have to change. We have to not be in a state of denial. We have to not be in a state of denial. We have to admit to ourselves that we have a defect, that we have shawa'ib, that we have uyub, we have defects and shortcomings in our character. That's the first step. Admit it to yourself. And this is something you find in clinical counseling. That's the first thing they tell the person who's a drug addict, or an alcoholic, or a gambler. He's been tested by Allah with gambling, with that crazy thing, gambling. I can't understand how someone can throw their money away. Or the person who has a problem with irregular sexual behavior. The first thing, or the person who has AIDS, is terminally ill, leukemia. The first thing that that counselor will do or that doctor will do will make that person understand that you have this. You can't deny it. Don't run away from it. You have to admit that you have it. But what happens is that some of us will say, I don't have any problems. I don't have any problems. And, you know, I'm okay. And no, we all have some type of problem. You'll find some Muslims that will even take ayat from the Quran to justify what they do. Like the woman, and I know some of you are probably saying, why does he keep talking about this? Because it's necessary. The women of Islam, like the woman, and I know some of you are probably saying, why does he keep talking about this? Because it's necessary. The women of Islam who don't wear the hijab, the khimar, the jilbab, and those who like to take it to the next level. I know it's difficult here in Australia. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us in America. Not because of America, but He has blessed us in America. Everywhere you go now, the women have taken it to the next level. With niqab, with burqa, with gloves. Alhamdulillah. But for those women who don't even do the hijab thing, the khimar thing, just the pants and the shirt, you hear her take an ayah from the Quran as an excuse. Allah knows what's in my heart. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Twisting the meaning of the ayah. Allah doesn't put a burden on a soul more than it can bear. Allah knows what's in my heart. I can't bear to wear that. It's hot outside. 25 degrees Celsius. 30 degrees Celsius. I just left and it was 103 degrees where I came from before I came here. 103 degrees Fahrenheit. I can't wear that. It's too hot. Well, I like to tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ. This is the answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the people who stayed away from the battle of Tabuk. The people who stayed away from the battle of Tabuk, the مُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The people who stayed away, telling the people, لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Don't go out in the heat. Stay home. Don't fight the jihad. Don't go out. Allah told them, say, نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. That the fire, the heat of the hellfire is more intense if they only understood. If they only understood. Or the brother who says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah doesn't put a burden on a soul more than it can bear. When you tell him to grow your beard, akhi, your beard is part of Islam. Grow your beard. Don't say Islam is in your heart only. Islam is in your face too, with your beard. Listen to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Majusi man came to him, the Magian. The man came to him and he had no beard. And he had a long mustache going over his lip, like some Muslims do. No beard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma hadha? What's this?" He said, "Hadha fi dinina." This is a part of our deen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to trim the mustache. Najuzzu sharif.
وَالنَّعْفِ اللَّحْيَ,
to trim the mustache. In our deen, I don't know about your deen, but in our deen, Allah has told us to keep the beard and trim the mustache. And in another narration, he said, who ordered you to do that, to shave your beard? The man said, our Lord has ordered us to do it. Meaning the emperor of his country. He said, well, our Lord has told us, my Lord has told me to keep the beard and trim the mustache. So this excuse, Allah doesn't put a burden on an individual more than he can bear. This is only in the issues of Sharia. Allah does not put a burden on you more than you can bear in those things that are concessions for you, allowances for you. If you can't pray standing, pray sitting. Allah doesn't put a burden on a soul more than it can bear. If you can't pray sitting, pray lying on your side. This is the meaning of the ayah. As for the person who tries to make that flimsy, as weak as a spider web house excuse, saying, I can't wear hijab, I can't grow my beard, I can't come to the masjid for the 5 daily prayers for the men, I can't, I don't have the ability. No, you have the ability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. He gave each and every one of us the ability to carry out every single thing of the sharia. Every single thing of the laws that he sent down, he gave every single one of us the propensity and the ability to carry those things out. You and I will not have any excuses whatsoever. So the first thing we have to do is to admit that we have a problem. Get out of the state of denial. That's the first thing. The second thing, as a proof, not the second thing, but another proof from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show that we have to work on our character. Not denying it, admitting it, and work on it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ. Knowledge is gained by studying. Once again, you just can't sit down and say, okay, I want to be a student of knowledge. You don't pick up any book. You don't go find the mashayikh. You don't go find the ulama. You're sitting at the house doing nothing. Like the ilm is going to drop out of the sky. No, you have to make an effort. Knowledge is gained by studying, actively seeking it. And hilm, clemency, comes from practicing it. If you are not a forbearing person and a clement person, you have to practice being clement. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرِ يُعْطَى. Whoever desires good, it will be given to him. All you have to do is just go out and try to look for the good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the good. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ الشَّرَّ يُوَقَّى. And whoever wants to stay away from evil, looking at girls with no clothes on, whoever really wants to stay away from looking at those naked women, those women who are a disgrace to their Lord. I have to say this. Those women who are a disgrace to their Lord for uncovering. Those men who are a disgrace to their Lord for looking and staring. Whoever wants to stay away from that type of evil, whoever wants to be protected from all fawahish, all they have to do is ask Allah and they'll be protected. You have to make the effort in order to improve your character. So we have a proof from the Quran. We have a proof from the Sunnah. And we have a proof from even Aql. We have a proof from our rational understanding. Logical mind tells us that we can improve our character if we are out of the state of denial and admit that we have a problem. And all of us, brothers and sisters, every single one of us has a problem. We have some type of defect. Either you can't keep your promises, either you lie too much. The brother calls up, says, you're supposed to meet me on such and such street at 7 o'clock. Wallahi, I was there, man. Weren't you there? You know you weren't there. You know you were home looking at a TV show. And you're going to lie for no good reason. So some of us have to work on it. And the human mind even tells us, if the kuffar can take animals, brothers and sisters. Take monkeys, tigers, lions, and the largest, or one of the largest animal that Allah has available to us on the earth, elephants, and make them walk on little steps in a circuit. Make the lion, which is known to rip you apart, tame it and make it jump through a hoop. Change the whole nature. Tame a lion. Put your head. You see these guys, crazy people, putting their head in a lion's mouth. If you can teach that animal to do that and change the behavior of that animal, how are you going to tell me you can't change your behavior? How are you going to tell me if you can make a parrot say, hello,
hello,
hello, hello, if you can do that, you know parrots don't say hello. When does a parrot, Allah created a parrot to say hello? If you can teach that parrot to do that, subhanAllah, you can change your character. Your intelligence tells you that. Don't believe the saying, you can't teach a dog new tricks. Don't believe it. You can change. So that's number one. Number two, the person must identify their character defect or flaw. The person has to identify it. Once you admit that you have it, you have to identify it. The first thing he should do under that category is that he or she should attach him or herself to some sheikh, some alim, some knowledgeable person who's going to point out those things to them. Akhi, you know, you have a problem. You have a problem with keeping your promise. That person that you've attached yourself to, he or she has good character, and they're not afraid to make the amr bil ma'ruf wa nahyu an al munkar, to enjoin in the good and forbid the evil. Some of the people of the past have said, your best friend is the one who, when you remember Allah, he helps you. And when you forget Allah, he reminds you. Meaning, when you remember Allah and your duty to Allah, he assists you. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. He assists you in righteousness and piety. And when you forget Allah, meaning your duty to Allah, he reminds you. And your worst friend is the one who, when you remember Allah, he doesn't help you. And when you forget Allah, he doesn't remind you. So when you get angry with that brother, when the Prophet told you already, لا تغضب, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تغضب, don't become angry. The worst friend you can have is that when you get so angry, you want to throw a roundhouse kick at him or give him a shoot over to the neck, the person next to you, your so-called friend, tells you, yeah, hit him again, punch him, kick him, spit on him, take his shoe off. You don't want that type of friend with you. You want somebody that's going to say to you, ittaqillah. Fear Allah, akhi. This is our brother in Islam. The Muslim is one, من سلم المسلمون من لسانه ويده. The Muslim is one who the other Muslims are safe from his hand and his tongue. That's the type of person that you want with you. You want that person who's going to tell you to your face with kindness and respect and sincerity, you have a problem. Akhi, I'm riding with you. We ride every day. Wallahi, akhi, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. You ride in the car and you tell him, but I have to tell you, I notice that you keep staring at women. You keep staring at women, akhi, and Allah has told us to lower our gaze and guard our modesty. I have to tell you this. I hope you don't feel bad about it. I hope you don't, you know, want to run away from me. I hope you don't want to stop being my friend. But I love you for the pleasure of Allah. I want for you what I want for myself. You tell that sister, she talks too much. She talks too much. She just talks. Yak. It's okay if she's talking about Quran and Sunnah or teaching you some dua or some zikr. But she talks about nothing. The Simpsons or whatever. Whatever. Do they still have the Simpsons here? How do you know? I got you again, like in April. See there? So we have to have someone who's going to stick close to us and tell us about ourselves. We find Luqman in the Quran telling his son, Ya bunayya, la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. He was admonishing his son. His son had a sheikh. to point out something that is going to be reprehensible for him. Oh, my dear son, don't ascribe partners with Allah, for surely shirk is the most tremendous of things. So this is the first of the second step to identify the flaw. The first thing is to get close to someone, an Adam, a Shaykh, who's going to tell you. If you can't do that, then find a friend. Find a friend who will tell you about yourself. We should be actively seeking out people. You know, sometimes I hear Muslims saying, yeah, those Muslims over there in that organization, or that Muslim over there, they have a clique. All this cliqueism in Islam. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Cliqueism is a good thing if it's a praiseworthy clique. Because there's the praiseworthy clique, and there's the blameworthy clique. If you have a clique or a group of people that are always enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and telling you to fear Allah and keep your duty to Allah, that's the best clique you can be with. What type of people would want us to be with people who don't remind them? So if you can't find an Adam or the
Shaykh, His majesty and His greatness and His transcendency and His supremacy, we don't say, oh, the face means character, or the face means countenance, His hands means power, His hands means might. Allah has a face. We want to see Allah's face. The greatest reward. That's the kind of person that you want around you, the person who's going to remind you of your duty so you can die and see Allah's face.
The third thing is that you have to listen to your enemies. That's right. Some of us have enemies from among the Muslims. We don't mean like kuffar. We mean somebody who maybe you wronged, somebody who wronged you, somebody who you know, you rubbed their shoulders the wrong way. And I'd like to say, brothers and sisters in Islam, and how much time do we have? 10 minutes? I'd like to say, since we only have 10 minutes, I think I'm going to take this opportunity now to not continue about how to improve our character, but some examples of good character. And that is, we have to be more pardoning with each other. We have to be more forgiving with each other. We have to be more clement and forbearing, as I said before, and patient with each other. And when someone wrongs you, when someone does something wrong to you as an individual, it is a part of the belief of Ahl Sunnah and the Nahj, of the people of the past, that they forgave, and that they were forbearing, and they were clement, they had lutf, they had lean, they had rifq. These people were gentle towards each other, and this is the way we should start being with each other. The person backbit you, the person slandered you, they said something bad about you, they offended you, in the fact, billati hiya ahsan. Repel the evil with that which is better. Repel the evil with that which is better. I know it's difficult, brothers and sisters, but we have to learn how to be more forgiving and forbearing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Practice afu with your brother and sister in Islam. Allah gives us the afu. When Aisha, our mother, radiallahu ta'ala anha, whom we should love more than our real biological mother, when she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, if I feel that I have reached, that I feel that this is Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? What should I do? He said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu, fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are Afu. Al-Afu, Allah, one of His names. And you love Afu. So give us this Afu. Why am I not translating it? I'm not translating it because it's so difficult to translate. Al-Afu is when someone wrongs you, you like overlook it. You just be easy with them. You pardon them. I know it's difficult, but this is one of the greatest virtues that a Muslim can have. إذ فعت التي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. repel the evil with that which is better, so that perhaps the one whom you and he and you and she has some type of enmity between each other, you will eventually become like a close bosom buddy. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was looking through the things of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He was looking through his things. He found in the hilt of his sword some things written. And one of the things that he found was سِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَأَحْسَنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ وَقُلُ الْحَقُ عَلَى نَفْسَكَ. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this writing, it says, rejoin the ties with the one who broke it with you. When somebody cuts you off, I don't want to speak to her anymore. She said this about me, she said that about me. When she calls, I don't want to talk to her. I don't ever want to see her face again. She just cuts you off. Now, what is the sunnah? What is the manhaj of the salaf? The manhaj of the salaf is that when she does that to you, you overextend yourself to her. You keep reaching out to her. You keep putting out the olive branch to her. سِلْمَنْ قَطَعْكَ. Rejoin the ties of relations with the one who separated it with you. And treat benevolently the one who wronged you. Treat kindly the one who wronged you. This ayah, brothers and sisters, خُذُ الْعَفُوْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, which I believe is in Surah Al-A'raf, and Allah knows best. Practice the afu, the forbearance, wa'mur bil 'urf, and enjoin in the good, wa'arid 'anil jahileen, and turn away from the ignorant, meaning don't punish them. That's the meaning of it. For those of us whose language is not Arabic, like mine, you read the English, it says turn away from the ignorant. It means don't punish them when they wrong you. Overlook it. Be forbearing. This ayah, the Prophet was with Jibreel, alayhi as-salatu was-salam. He asked Jibreel, ma hadha? Like, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this ayah? Practice ta'afu, enjoin in the good, and do not punish the ignorant. Jibreel said, hatta as'al al-alam. Like, wait a minute, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until I ask the one who knows. And he came back and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Muhammad, He has ordered you, He has ordered you to rejoin the ties of the one who severed with you, and to give to the one who prevents from you. وَطُعْتِي مَنْ حَرَّمَكَ, and give to the one who prevents and doesn't give to you. وَطَعْفُ, and have عَفُ with the one who ظَلَمَكَ, the one who wronged you. This is the meaning of the ayah. This is a quality, brothers and sisters, that we have to start practicing in Australia. We have to start practicing this quality. Forgiving our brother and sister in Islam. And in conclusion, and I know I say that all the time, inshallah, 10 minutes, thank you. So that means I have two more times to say in conclusion, inshallah. We have a very beautiful story among the beautiful stories in Islam. All of the stories in Islam are beautiful. Every single one of them. We have a story where there was some slander on our mother Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we all know the story, where those three people who didn't start the slander from the pagans, but those three people, three Muslims, they transmitted the slander. They weren't the originators of the slander. All they did was, is just transmit it. And you know, namima is a very serious thing, brothers and sisters. Namima is a very serious thing in Islam. To spread information which may or may not be true, but it will cause friction, civil strife and chaos among the Muslims. It will cause fitna among the Muslims. In fact, on the door of Jannah, it says that the namam will not be able to go into Jannah.
The person who spreads tales and causes fitna among the Muslims, it's written on the door of Jannah that they can't get in. SubhanAllah. So these three people, they just spreaded the news that Aisha, our mother, I don't even want to say it. We all know what they said she said. What they said she did. رضي الله تعالى عنها. She's far removed from that. One of those people, brothers and sisters in Islam, was being given sadaqah by Abu Bakr. He was being given sadaqah by Abu Bakr. As-Siddiq, رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه. Regular charity to him. The person who had transmitted the slander, not just on the daughter of Abu Bakr, but the wife of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had a double, as we say in America, a double whammy against him. When Abu Bakr found out that this person, and the other two people, but specifically this person who he was giving charity to, had made that spread the slander on his daughter, the wife of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi, la unfiq ala mistahin shay'an abadan. I'm never going to give charity to him again. His name was Mistah ibn Uthatha, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And you know something, brothers and sisters? Check this out. He was the relative of Abu Bakr. He was the cousin on the maternal side of Abu Bakr, ibn Khalatihi. He was the son of his maternal aunt, Abu Bakr's relative. And he was extremely miskeen, extremely poor. And a third thing, he was one of the people of Badr. He was one of the people who made hijrah, fi sabilillah. Wallahi, I'm not going to spend on him ever again. And if we're human beings, you can understand it. Can you imagine, brothers? Well, you brothers who have ghira, and you should have ghira for your wife. Can you imagine somebody saying something about your wife that's, you know, that's out of order? You're going to get upset. Even if the person is a Muslim, until you catch yourself. He said, what? What do you say about my wife? You're going to get in your car, and you're going to go to his house, at most, or at least you're going to call on the telephone. Akhi, is it true what you said about my family? You're going to be upset. Now this is the mother of the believers. The mother of the believers. So we can understand Abu Bakr's sentiment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah sent down this ayah. Don't let any of you who has been given an abundance of wealth and excellence swear by Allah to not spend on the people who are near relatives, extremely needy and poor, and those who have made hijrah fi sabilillah. وَلْيَعْفُوا, give them afu. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, give them safh, pardon them, forgive them. Wouldn't you love that Allah forgives you? And Allah is the forgiving, the merciful. Wouldn't you love that Allah forgives you? After that, when the ayah came down, and we know that there's nobody better than the Anbiya and the Rusul, alayhimu salatu wassalam. There's no one better than the prophets and the messengers. After the Sahaba, there's no one better. The prophets and the messengers are the best of people, and then the Sahaba, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the best of the Sahaba is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Immediately, he didn't wait for a week when the verse came down to say, well, yeah, the ayah came down. I'm still not going to give him, maybe I'll cut it in half, still give him some more. Immediately, not only did the ayah affect him in the immediate sense, he increased the sadaqah. Increased it. He said, yes, I would love that Allah forgive me. increase the sadaqah on the man who transmitted the slander of his daughter, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, the question is now, we're talking about good character. You want to have good character? Then do that to your brother. You want to have good character? Then do that to your sister. Do that for your brother and your sister. No one loves to give excuses more better than Allah. No one loves to give excuses more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ بَعَثَ الْمُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْذِرِينَ. And because of that, he loves to give excuses. He sent bringers of glad tidings and warners. So if Allah loves to give excuses, and no one can love like Allah's love to give excuses, وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, because there's nothing like him, then why can't you give your brother an excuse? Why can't you give your sister an excuse? Why can't you find excuses for them? Because a true believer is always going to find an excuse for their brother and sister in Islam. That's a part of our good character. And the person who leans towards nifaq is the person who's always trying to find fault in their brother and sister. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, in this last night inshallah, and I hope it's not the last night at all, inshallah ta'ala, this is a reminder. وَالذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is a reminder which should benefit the believers. It will benefit us to try to look at our behavior, to try to better our character, to try to improve the way we treat Muslims and non-Muslims. Just because of them, that doesn't mean you spit on them. Because they're Jews, they walk down the street, you take a brick and you throw it at their head. We should be treating all people kindly with the hope that they will come to Islam, to show them the character and the behavior of the best of people, uswatun hasana, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of examples. And if we do this, we're going to gain all of those things we mentioned in the beginning of this talk. Those things that I would not doubt even the weakest Muslim sitting here would say they didn't want it. I know the weakest Muslim. I'm probably one of the top of the list. May Allah help me. Every single one of us wants that reward that we mentioned in the beginning in Jannah. If you improve your character, you can get it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ مِيعَادِ. Allah will never break His promise. So with that, inshallah, whatever I have said that is correct, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is above His throne and the manner befitting His majesty. Anything that I've said that is correct is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything that I've said that is incorrect is from ash-shaytan, your avowed open enemy, the one who wants you to have bad character. The chief of those who have bad character. Or the mistake was from myself. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.